This morning we have three scriptures to go along with today's message. The first one comes from Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a prostitute and have children of prostitution, for the people of the land commit great prostitution by deserting the Lord." So Hosea went and took Gomer, Diblaim's daughter, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Hosea 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me again, "Go, make love to a woman who has a lover and is involved in adultery. Just as the Lord loves the people of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes." Romans 3, verses 23 through 24. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of a ransom that was paid by Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Ray. Bear with me, folks. Hoping to get through this sermon and the next one with what voice I have left. On the way out, don't expect any handshakes, but we're going to do the fist bump thing, okay? All right. This Advent season, I've been trying to help us all look at Christmas from just a little bit of a different perspective, just a little differently. My sermon series, called A Different Kind of Christmas, is designed to help us experience a more meaningful Christmas and to learn how to give as Jesus gave and to share as Jesus shared. By rethinking Christmas this year, we might just have the kind of Christmas that reclaims the real meaning of Jesus' birth and have a Christmas that's filled with more joy, more hope, more peace than anything that we find underneath our trees this year. Of course, Christmas implies that we believe in God, right? The God of the Bible, Creator God, the God of heaven and earth, the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to think everybody here today believes in God. I don't think you'd be here otherwise if you didn't. But believe it or not, even though 90% of all Americans say they believe in God, only half, 50%, attend worship on a regular basis. I find that interesting. But did you know that God believes in you too? That's right. God believes in you. He believes in us. You might say, well, how can God believe in me and love me after all I've done, after all the things that I've done, after the places that I've been, the things that I've said, and the ways that I have behaved? How can God believe in me? Now, most of us can do a pretty good job at hiding our sins and imperfections and shortcomings from one another, but from God? No way. God knows our hearts. God knows everything about us. And yet God still believes in us and loves us. That's what I love about Christmas. It's almost like a yearly reminder of God's love affair with all of humanity. And that's what I want to talk about today. The scandalous love of God that came down from heaven that first Christmas day. But why use the adjective scandalous in front of the word love of God? Well, I hope that'll be self-evident by the time I'm finished here this morning. I'm preaching today from a passage that obviously doesn't sound very Christmassy, does it? In fact, the sermon might even be rated PG if you stop and think about it. I'm preaching today from a passage not associated with Christmas, but it is from the book of Hosea, and I think illustrates God's scandalous love probably better than any other scripture. The book of Hosea is one of those obscure little books found in the minor prophets, tucked away between the major prophets and the minor prophets, written during the days when the nation of Israel was enjoying great prosperity, great comfort, great peace, and they were living the dream, so to say. However, They were also doing some things that this prophet Hosea warned them that would eventually lead to God's judgment. And that judgment came in the form of exile for 70-some years outside of their homeland. Let's take a closer look at what's going on here in this very interesting passage of prophecy. First, God tells Hosea, speaking to Hosea the prophet, go marry a prostitute and have children of prostitution, for the people of the land commit great prostitution by deserting the Lord. Now, the first thing we have to remember is that this story is filled with symbolism. It is symbolic. God uses the analogy of a marriage to represent God's relationship with the people of God, Israel. Hosea, the prophet, represents God in this story and is told to go and marry someone who is known to be unfaithful from the get-go. The woman he is to marry is named Gomer. That's an interesting name for a woman, isn't it? Who is a prostitute, but also represents the people of Israel and how they're acting and behaving in the land and toward God. And like the unfaithful Gomer, Israel has broken that sacred trust with God through idolatry. Israel had, in a sense, prostituted themselves to the false gods of pagan worship, materialism, worshiping of false gods, hedonism, pleasure-seeking, and just simply being unfaithful to the God who had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, the God who had sustained them in the wilderness for 40 years, the same God who crossed the River Jordan with them and brought them into the promised land. And yet they were prostituting themselves. From a human point of view, we can equate God's relationship with Israel to the covenant of marriage, which is then broken by infidelity. Hosea went so far as to compare Israel's infidelity to prostitution. But Hosea is told to go and marry this prostitute anyway. And that is what makes God's love so scandalous. Who in their right mind would go and marry a person who was a prostitute? God loves Israel in spite of her unfaithfulness, her infidelity. And I'm reminded in words much later when he made reference to faith and materialism by saying, Jesus, this is, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You see, Hosea is symbolic of God's relentless, pursuing, unconditional, and Hosea's prostitute wife, Gomer, represents God's people, but not just the Israelites. Gomer represents us as well in our unfaithfulness and in our infidelity of God. Right about now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, now hold on, preacher. Don't you think you're going just a little too far with this analogy? And I say, no. No, I'm not. Think about it. In a sense, every Christmas season, we sort of sell ourselves out to the spirit of prostitution when we bow to the gods of materialism, when we bow to the idol of consumerism and selfishness and greed and lust. When we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, we become so self-absorbed and self-focused and so gluttonous that it makes us oblivious to what God really desires from us. Remember, we open this series with the phrase, it ain't our birthday. It ain't our birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. You see, what God wants for Christmas most of all, what God wants for Jesus' birthday this year and every year is our undying and faithful love. And God wants us to love him with the same scandalous love that God has for us. And we do this by loving one another, by treating and ministering to those in need. I commend you, Bethel Church, on your responding to the call for coats. Hope Ellsworth tells me that we collected over 200 coats. That is incredible. Every day I used to come in here the past 3 or 4 weeks and the box was overfilled. The Bassetts know. They collected a lot of them. Look at the packages around this room. These are your gifts to the needy around Lewis and Rehoboth and Milton area, the giving tree. I think you get it. But there is still so much more we need to do, not just in Lewis, but in the world as well. Speaking of which, did you know that a child dies every 5 seconds? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A child just died somewhere in the world from a hunger-related cause. Every 5 seconds. Did you know that? God does. Did you know that 16.6 billion, that's with a B, AIDS orphans were reported in 2011 worldwide? Children, orphans with AIDS. God does. And I think you know this because we've talked about this quite a bit. Did you know that one child dies every 45 seconds from malaria, which could have been prevented with a $10 mosquito net? That's what Nothing But Nets was all about. And that's going to be an ongoing mission of our church in the United Methodist Church, Nothing But Nets. A $10 mosquito net could save a child's life. The message from this passage clearly illustrates God's scandalous love in chapter 3, verse 1. Go make love to a woman who has a lover and is involved in adultery, just as the Lord loves the people of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. Folks, I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I could do what God told Hosea to do. But this is what makes God's love so scandalous. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's outrageous. It's a testimony, though, to the kind of love and how far God is willing to go to love us. Remember the story of the woman who was caught in adultery by the people of Jesus' time? They brought her to Jesus with stones in their hands, ready to stone her because she had been caught in adultery. And what does Jesus say? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And they drop their rocks and they go away. And he tells the woman, where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. Or the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15. Prodigal son who says, Dad, you're as good as dead. Let me have my inheritance now. Give me my inheritance now. I'm just ready to get off this stupid farm and go live the life of Riley or whatever the phrase is. And he goes off and he squanders every penny because times came. And he found himself looking at pig slop. And it was looking pretty good to him because he was so hungry. And he comes to his senses one day and he says, I'm going to go back to my father and work as one of his slaves. And as he makes his way back to his father, guess what? His father's waiting, had been looking for him. And he sees him from afar, and he runs towards his son, and he throws his arms open. He says, my son was dead, but now he is alive. Let's kill the fatted calf and have a party. This is the kind of love that God has for each and every one of us. No matter how far you've strayed, no matter what you have done, it's that kind of love that the Reminders sing about in that song, Outrageous Grace, Violent Mercy. It's an incredible, scandalous love and a relentless pursuit broken in the dying world. Here's the thing I want you to take away from the message today. God loves us, and God pursues each and every one of us, even while we're under the influence, so to say, of things like greed and selfishness or addiction or deceit or unforgiveness or any of the other false gods that we worship. Christmas reminds us that God loves us just as we are. And that's what that old song of Billy Graham, you know, when they have the altar call, just as I am, without one plea. God wants us just as we are, but he's not going to leave us that way. He loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants to help us help transform us into a Christ-likeness. God loves us just as we are and has come to buy us back. Just like Hosea bought back his prostitute wife. God paid a terrible price for us. It's a scandalous love, a love beyond our comprehension. But that's just the kind of God our God is. So what does this mean for us? How is this message supposed to help us have a merrier Christmas this year? When we realize just how far we have strayed, some of us have strayed very far. Some of us have done unspeakable things, betrayed our loved ones, cheated on our taxes, you name it. The one who loves us unconditionally wants to show us his love, and our response can only be repentance and a renewed faith. When we pursue God as our first love and devote ourselves to God first as our one true love, then and only then will our lives know true peace, true wholeness, true forgiveness, the meaning of true love. But how can we do that today? What does this look like? How can we practice this kind of love today? By beginning to see all people as Jesus sees them. To see people through the eyes of God. By reaching out to the poor. To reaching out to the broken, the lost, the homeless, the disenfranchised, the outcasts among us. Those who are suffering, those who are hurting, those who are without Christ or without hope. By praying for the people of Newtown, Connecticut, as well as loving our own children and grandchildren just a little more this Christmas, holding them just a little longer, knowing that there are 26 families without loved ones to celebrate this Christmas with. The book of Hosea doesn't tell us whether Gomer gave up her adulterous lifestyle and lived happily ever after with Hosea as a good wife. The last thing we read is that he had to buy her back for 15 shekels, an omer of barley. I always thought that was interesting, an omer for Gomer. Sorry. Omer for Gomer. An omer of barley and some wine. Hosea had no way of knowing whether his wife would remain faithful or not. But that's the risk that God takes with us too. Will we remain faithful? But the prophecy in verse 5, not part of today's reading, gives us a glimmer of hope. And the prophet says, afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in their last days. There is the word of hope. Although there's words of judgment, the prophets almost always offer a word of hope as well. That there is hope for us as well. That we too will come trembling before the Lord and to his blessings. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I pray that you're walking with him every day right now. But I don't know this about each and every one of us here. God loves you no matter what you've done. Don't ever forget that. No matter where you've been, no matter how far you have strayed from your God, from your family, God's forgiven you if you are truly repentant. That's what the cross is all about. Christ has died for your sins, past, present, and future. And God's forgiven you if you're truly repentant and want to walk in the way of forgiveness and start anew. Remember, you may be like Gomer, unfaithful, feeling unworthy of God's love, but God has bought you with a price. A price that cost him his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. None of us deserves that kind of love. But God shows us his outrageous grace and his violent mercy at the cross to show us the full extent of God's scandalous love. God sent his love on that first Christmas day as a tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Jesus came under scandalous conditions to redeem and restore not only a broken world, but also broken hearts, broken relationships. This, my friends, is scandalous, the scandalous love we celebrate at Christmas. And this is the scandalous love that we are called to show to God and to show one another. Let us pray. Oh God, we all sinned and fall far, far short of your great love for us, and none of us deserves, Lord, any of it. But we come this morning, Lord, in faith with this reminder of your scandalous love, your outrageous love, a love that doesn't make any sense because of where we've been and what we've done. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today who does not know that forgiveness, that does not know that you have ransomed them for their sins, they know it now. And then they will open their hearts to you, Lord. As we close this service today, I pray that every heart here today knows that forgiveness and wants to turn and go the right way. Lord, thank you for your forgiving grace, your outrageous grace, your scandalous love. For we ask it in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Joyce.
Would you stand as we sing the closing song?